Hierdie inset word aan jou gebring met die komplimente van Radio Kaapse Kansel 729 AM. Besoek ons gerus by www.capepulpit.co.za.
Goeiedag luisteraars en welkom by die geselsprogram Kopskuif, waar ons elke saterdag onderwys en skoolgemeenskapsake gesels. My naam is Mirsha Eksteen en baie dankie dat jy 729 AM Radio Kaapse Kansel gekies het om vandag saam te kuier. Vandag is 'n wonderlike geleentheid wat ek het om met Hanneke Mackie te gesels. Hanneke is die stigter, eienaar en besturende direkteur van Buzz Kids. So, Buzz Kids was founded in 2012 by Hanneke Mackie, who achieved her degree in theatre and performance from the University of Cape Town in 2005. She is passionate about the marriage of education and play. She believes in applying the arts to develop the child cognitively, socially, and holistically. Welcome, Hanneke.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mirsha. Thanks for that wonderful introduction.
And you know, I'm the mother of a five-year-old, and I can just tell you that Buzz Kids, to me, is such an amazing name. I can just, when they arrive home in the afternoon, that Buzz arrives with them. So well done. This name creates this whole, just the name already, show the marriage of education and play. So please tell us about yourself.
Oh, thanks, Michelle. But I'm also a mom, and my son is almost five, and he certainly buzzes in and out of this house every single day.
Aww.
And so first and foremost, I'm a mom, and I am a wife, and I'm just a very proud South African. Mm. I did, as you mentioned in your beautiful introduction, I did a degree in theater and in art, and I loved immersing in that world. And I think that's where it started, doing a drama degree. It's a wonderful place. At UCT, at the University of Cape Town, it was such a development of my whole self, of my confidence, of my selfhood development.
Wow.
And I was like, yo. So that was the first sort of tick. Then I was very interested while I was studying in the concept of using and applying art to something useful. And my thesis ended up being on Pieter Terkuys, who I managed to interview and do a thesis on theatre for social change, political theatre, satirical theatre. And I guess all of that, plus being partly raised by my grandparents, who were both absolute educators, I brought my worlds together, my love of children and the world of the arts, as well as this idea of developing the self and education, all came together. And before I knew it, as I graduated, I realized I don't want to just do art for art's sake. I need to do something useful. Got myself into some township educational theater. Mm. That led to becoming a drama teacher, leaving Cape Town and ending up in Joburg. And that was a platform where I decided, hang on, this is not just for the children who opt into this activity. It has to be for every type of child, the introverted one, the attention deficit one, the very extremely, quote-unquote, busy or naughty one, as well as everyone in between.
Yes.
And I learned as I was, I was building the parachute as I was falling out of a plane. But that's a great way to develop a toolkit. And then I went to the United Kingdom, and I learned in organizations similar to what I would then begin with Buzz. And I'm just an entrepreneur. I'm a serial businesswoman. I love to create solutions. I love to adapt. I love to grow young people, facilitators who work for me. I adore children. They are absolutely my greatest heroes. They
absolutely
teach me how to be mindful, how to be present, how to be honest, how to say my say, and I want to protect them. I want to protect what is inherent in them. We are not saying we're doing anything to or for the child.
Mm.
We're just safeguarding and growing something natural that I think mainstream education is missing. So that's who I am in a nutshell. Buzz is my firstborn. Jack is my real son.
Oh.
And And we're very, very happy and a busy little family, and we're all involved in trying to make this thing go as far as possible.
Lovely, lovely. So this little child is almost a teenager.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, with all the teenager characteristics, I can't believe it.
Yeah, you know, founded in 2012.
Yeah, we're in our 12th year now.
Absolutely.
And it's seen so many seasons. It's gone through its ups and downs. It's made so many changes. But I think that's the core of good business. Is
absolutely.
To adapt, to pivot, to change and to grow.
Yeah, and the needs are always changing. And because you are working so closely with teachers and the whole education system, so
yes.
The transformation also happening there. So
yes.
With all of this and the lovely intro, I would like to know, why was Bus Kids established?
Wow. I mean, I guess on a personal note, it was about that entrepreneur in me, not an entrepreneur, an art-trepreneur. the need to be my own, to be in charge of my own destiny on a personal level, that was really important. And I got that confidence from my education in the art to do so. So that for me is my personal drive. And then on a societal level, when I'd gone to the UK and I worked there with children, my heart just kept saying to me, hold on, it's powerful stuff. You're doing powerful work with children. It's having a powerful effect on teachers. And you can't sleep at night knowing that our children, especially underserved communities in our country, how much benefit I could be giving back home. So I carried on a few years there, saved up a nest egg to come and start in South Africa. But the purpose of it is to safeguard and stimulate the natural creativity of the child, to help the teacher do that if I'm not able to do that through my franchise, people in person. So we'd like to do it in person via our network. If we can't do it, we know we can teach the teacher to do it. We can also teach the teacher to be more creative and to get their everyday teaching, not just art teaching, but if they're learning about the water cycle, or they're learning about transport network, or they're learning about insects, all of that learning can be done far more creatively, far more with
embodiment.
Yes, and through play. So the purpose of Buzz is to improve futures. And we know that the educational outcomes of children who are exposed to programs like ours, we're not the only ones doing it, but programs like ours, the educational outcomes and the future possibility of success. I mean, the studies on this show that the child will do far better in life being exposed at a young age. So we do important work, and the purpose of it is to make South Africa and the world a better place. I mean, if we are as parents, we are mandated to make the world make up our children, or to leave them with the tools with which to make it a better place for themselves.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So that quote of it takes a village to raise a child.
Yes, it certainly does.
So parents is, how can parents lay the foundation for future success for their children?
I think that's a conversation we could spend a week unpacking.
Absolutely.
It's such a varied and an interesting question, but I think that it's about the child and the parent being connected.
Yeah.
And again, the arts provide, if you switch on a song or you do storytelling at home and you interactively play with your child, you're going to get closer to your child to start with. But to know yourself, as Shakespeare says, but to know your child is where it starts. And then from there, you're laying the groundwork that's specific to your child. So I'd like to start by saying every child is different.
Absolutely.
And what they will need is nuanced to them. But I think, I think that what is universal, that the research is starting to show us very strongly, and we spend a lot of time researching what are the best thinkers and the best minds and the studies coming up with, and they're showing in education now that it's no longer important for children to retain knowledge.
Yes.
It's no longer important for children to be parroting information. What school and environment at home and the learning environment needs to prepare the child for is for innovation, for critical thinking, for the ability to stand in a very uncertain, rapidly changing world. So the child is going to have the skills with which to potentially come up with their own business, solve an innovative problem like for climate change or whatever the problems might be, deal with the AI revolution coming, cost of living being. I mean, we know what the problems are that we're facing today. We know the World Economic Forum has come out recently to say that 65% of jobs will no longer exist
absolutely
in 10 years. 10 years, that change we have not seen. So what are we doing when we're still driving our children to spell and count well? That's so important. I'm not saying it's not. But what can you do as a mum, as a dad, as a parent, as an aunt? What can you do to make sure I am giving my child an opportunity to flex their confidence, to grow their communication skills, to think critically, to improvise, to problem solve? Forbes has just come out with a thing that says, with a prediction that says, the most sought-after skills for the future will undoubtedly be creativity.
Creativity.
We are living in a world where even Google, the senior vice president of Google, came out 10 years ago to say they're no longer interested in where people went to university. They're only interested in their ability to problem solve and do what computers cannot do. So as much as parents are running to robotics and coding, which I will also do, my son needs to have digital skills. But additional to that, and almost more important, is can they trust their own ideas? Because they have them naturally. But we've got to give them the confidence. We've got to give them the opportunity to play in a structured way. We've got to learn through play. We've got to make sure we don't let those children fall by the wayside who learn in neurodivergent or different ways. So the parents must make sure that they know their child and a tailored solution to the child. But whatever you do, make sure you're thinking about 21st century skills. No longer outdated. You know, it's not going to be the traditional A student that's going to be in charge of the future.
It is so well said. So you really refer to the innovation and the creativity and for a child to trust their own ideas. Do you think they are super skills to equip our children with for the future?
Yeah. Absolutely. And people call it different things.
Yes.
We hear people refer to super skills. We hear people speak about what I love. It's fusion skills.
Yeah.
So we're not throwing away science. We're not throwing away mathematics because we know those things are so important. But if you fuse the mathematical scientific knowledge with the confidence, then that brings a whole new dimension, or with creativity and imagination. Another term that I like is 21st century skills. Now, all of those are basically referring to the same thing.
Whenever you read on
any of this subject, the number one, the crown jewel is creativity and imagination. Everyone now knows that's going to be the most sought-after skill. And what underpins that? Critical thinking, problem-solving, innovation. Communication skills are going to be really, really rare because of screen time and how much time we spend with tech. To be able to communicate confidently is no longer a given. And then that thing about confidence, liking yourself, trusting your own gut. School traditionally, and I'm making a blanket assumption, there are beautiful schools who are intentional about not doing this, but school and society have traditionally taught us to conform and to doubt our wacky, outside-the-box idea. And that is now being proven to be what's sought after. We need out-the-box, wacky ideas. So put your child in a school that at least talks about 21st century or fusion or super skills, that definitely has an art department, that learns to play, especially in those younger grades. In the older grades, you have a lot of schools who call it project-based learning, where we literally put ourselves in a scenario and we solve it from the inside out. And there are some revolutionary schools in the world. There's a school in America called High Tech High, and I encourage all your listeners to go Google the documentary called Most Likely to Succeed, and you see how these guys are doing it. But they're a blip in an ocean of people still being educated around a system that's 130 years old and was built for the industrial age. So we need to radically start transforming our education system, and we have to do it for our children.
So why is it important to nurture a child's imagination and creative capacities?
You know, because it actually dives down. There's a lot of studies that show that baseline, 98% of 4 to 5 year olds have the ability to come up with a creatively genius idea. There was a study, a longitudinal study started in 1968 by George Land. He had developed this test for astronauts, for NASA. NASA needed to find creative genius problem solvers. And once they'd established the test and it did well, they decided to test it on normal society. So they took 1,600 children. 4 to 5 year olds of that same group, so they kept with them for 40 years, at the age of 4 to 5, 98% of them could come up with a creatively genius idea. By primary school, the same group of children had dropped to 30%. By high school, 12%. And the same children, when tested in adulthood, only 2% retained the ability to come up with a creatively genius idea. Now, it might be that their confidence was knocked, they have learned to reform, that little part of the brain that was igniting when they were little wasn't stimulated. Remember, if you look at brain science, when children are young, there are huge parts of the brain that's ripe and ready to be grown. If you don't grow it, it will die. It will die. So you might think that it's inherent in children. Imagination is not something you can measure. It's not important. But you can really see it. You can see it because we've worked now for 12 years. Some of the children are the same, you know. You can see households. You can see certain schools. You see where the child is allowed to do a lot of unstructured play. That's really important as well. And then structured play, where we use it to grow and develop intentionally. You can just see that imagination gets safeguarded and honed. And then it becomes like a muscle that you go to the gym and you grow that
exercise
muscle.
Exercise and grow, y'all.
And Ken Robinson made the most incredible statement that I love to say to those dads who look at me and say, my son doesn't need to do drama and dancing. And then I go, okay, sure. But have you thought about the fact that imagination is the basis of everything that makes us human? It's the basis of language, sciences, engineering, the arts, and all the vast intricacies of human nature. And that's a Ken Robinson quote. Starts with imagining something new. Now, you take it to South Africa, where we have huge, vast parts of our society, of our citizens living under poverty line. And we might say, well, as long as there's food and water, then why bother with imagination? Imagination might be the very thing that allows you to imagine a different future and an alternative future for yourself and think about a new solution. I mean, it is no longer something that we can see as a add-on nice to have. It is crucial.
And tell me about the types of play for children development.
So, you know, again, this one, you can go deep into the research, and there's a lot of different definitions and ways that these things get broken up. But in very simple terms, what I like to refer to is just structured and unstructured play. So for a child, it's incredibly important to spend time in unstructured play, which means there are no grown-ups involved, or maybe there are, but there's no rules. It's just being made up. The child's in the sandpit. They organize their own rules around it, and it also just flows. That is not time wasted. It's something we did as children who were raised in the 90s and 80s a lot more, where it was just like free play. You were actually bored, right? Boredom is fantastic. And then structured play. Structured play is often forgotten. So teachers in schools in South Africa often that we deal with, they think, well, the child is playing during break time and then learning during school time. And I'm going, well, you're missing one bit there, which is the structured play. The structured play is when you take a topic like the water cycle or insects, and while learning about it, we are doing it in a game form. Because now what happens when we do it that way is two things. We're doing improvisation, music. We're adding a whole different dimension. We are, one, stimulating a different part of the brain. So you are retaining knowledge and learning in a different way. And two, there are children on the spectrum or neurodivergent or who learn in non-traditional ways who are now not being left behind.
Mm.
So you're more inclusive. Mm. So you're allowing that little boy who's sitting in the corner and always being told he's naughty, naughty, naughty because he doesn't like to sit still. Suddenly, when you're learning in an embodied, playful way, little Johnny is no longer the naughty boy. He is just needing a different way to learn. Structured and unstructured play should belong in schools. And I mean, even in high schools. When we say that, people roll their eyes. But it's true. We learn in our bodies.
So you refer to Ken Robinson, and he refers a lot to curiosity. I think he once said that our task is to educate their whole being so they can face this future. So how do you think we can prepare our children for a future that we even can't imagine?
Wow. It's a daunting task.
It is, eh? We know nothing.
Totally daunting. We have no clue whether or not we're all going to be flying, if there's going to be holograms, if we're going to live. If there's going to be avatars instead of children going to real school, who knows? It is daunting. If you imagine in my and your lifetime, and I'm making an assumption about our ages here, but when I was in standard three, my dad was one of the first people to get a cell phone. That means I was 10, 11 before. Now cell phones are my computer, my camera, my therapist, we've seen industries start and go completely extinct, DVDs, CDs, is in our lifetime, right? And so to make a prediction is daunting and it's almost impossible. So I leave the predictions to the clever people, and I love to read about it and to try and like get as much information as possible. But then to look at my kid and go,
equip.
I need you to be able to stand up for yourself. Like I'm around other parents when my child is kind of quote-unquote, I wouldn't even say bullied, but someone is mean to him. You know, their little kids and boys are each other. And before I get up and I want to get involved, I like to see Jack stand up for himself. Say, hey, you don't talk to me like that. So for me, that's where the confidence piece comes in. We've spoken a lot about imagination, creativity. And that's important, and curiosity is at the heart of innovation and imagination. But also confidence, you know, and communication skills, that I'm not going to be around every day and every play, in every
situation or
playground where my son finds himself. Yeah. I need him to have the skills to know what's right and wrong, what he needs, to walk away from someone who's mean to him, to say you don't speak to me like that, to protect his own body. It is incredibly daunting. It's incredibly scary. Who knows what's coming? But I think that I sleep tight at night knowing that my son is quite, I mean, his personality is also, there's also a part of it I cannot control. He came out quite confident. But we teach him to use his voice, trust himself. We go with it when he initiates a game. You know, if he says, mom, look, he just starts to snort instead of talk. And now I'm like, oh, hang on, you're pretending to be a dinosaur. And when it's possible, I try to go with it when he initiates a game. And yes, I'm also a businesswoman. I get tired all the time. I'm not perfect, I promise you. I often fail my child. But I try to catch myself and go, hold on. This is an opportunity for Jack to grow. This is an opportunity for Jack to like himself more and so forth. So I don't have the answer, and I think that we need to remain curious as parents as we go into this future. We need to hold people and our schools and our government and our people in structure accountable to providing more programs and support to teachers, so that our children can have the richest experience as possible. And it doesn't cost a lot of money. It just costs care and wanting to find the better solution.
Wow. So, Buskeets, you have a menu that really offers, according to me, something for everyone. So, as an edutainment ecosystem, Buskeets offer interactive workshops. So will you tell us more about that?
Absolutely. So the workshops are the heart of how we started and where we are today. So
yes.
It really is the core activities. It's a great place to start. And the more recent title we gave ourselves is an edutainment ecosystem, and we'll get to that. But the heart of the workshop is we like to use drama, dance, and singing as a three-in-one activity. So there's also some research that talks about the benefit of obviously movement and obviously communication and obviously drama. But when you put those things together, that's when you also access very different developmental spaces for the child. So we always use drama, dance, and singing together. And the choice that we made there for drama, dance, and singing in our activity is because we believe these are the simplest tools, also the innate art is what I like to call it. And what I mean by that is you don't need a violin. You don't even need a drum. You don't even need a paintbrush or a canvas. You need a body and a willing group of children to drama, dance, or sing, you know, providing able-bodied. But, I mean, we can also talk about how our program is inclusive for spectrum and disability. But my point being is that it is so, you just need the interaction between the facilitator teacher and the children. And then we start with our physical section of the workshop, which is high energy. We do some dance choreography to our own content. So in other words, we make our own music. We play physical high-energy games. And really that physical section of the workshop is really almost trying to start to point at skills that occupational therapists develop. So it's the physical part of the workshop. So we're not saying we replace occupational therapists, but we are intentional about midline crossing, core strength, gross motor skills, that physical development of the body. Then we go into communication, listening, singing, and speaking. And there we use our own poems and raps and songs as content. And there we do a lot of games that work on communication skills, articulation, projection, listening skills, eye contact. And then we end in the improvisation, which is the story. We find ourselves in an imaginary space. The children act it out. There's character play, improvisation, props, costumes. And we actually go on an adventure week by week, play lots of intentional games there based on sort of more drama principles. And that is the product. Whether I deliver that to a 2-year-old or a 12-year-old, we work from 0 to 13. And those ages are then subdivided into what we call our brand stages. So that's the cognitive developmental stages of childhood. And for each stage, obviously, we offer a different variation. But the core of our drama, dance, and singing program remains the same. We plug in different activities every single week. So there's thousands of games and activities that we cycle through, as well as the content. So in other words, the songs, the dances, the poems, the stories are our own. We've created that originally for Buzz. Now, where do we do this? We run this in the school day for certain schools. So we replace their performing arts department. And then if we do it for them, we summer have a concert at the end of the year. We do the whole catoot for them. Also, we do assessments of the child. Then we also have an extramural program, so that's exclusive to the school, an extramural at the school, just for that school on a Wednesday, for instance. We also do it independently, so in the school day, after the school, or in an independent venue like a dance studio or a church hall. And that runs anywhere in the country where I have a franchise. So there's a franchise network of partners. And these business partners can then go and open it in their area. And we are very much looking for more partners to partner with us, both in South Africa and further afield. And then that's the workshops. But then we also take those workshops onto other platforms, which I'll talk to you about more. But when we can't reach you in person by the franchise network or via the school, we can also have you listen to our podcast or watch our television show. It's actually at the heart of it the same very rich program, which, by the way, I have to mention, we were recently accredited by the Education Alliance of Finland.
Well done.
So the curriculum is, that's like getting an Oscar, I have to know.
Yes. Lovely.
It's not easy to get that accreditation. It's
actually
very hard.
The hours and hours of hard work, eh?
Yeah,
well done. It's a gold medal at the Olympics.
For curriculum development.
Yeah, well done.
Thank you.
Oh, luisteraars, ek gesels vandag met die baie inspirerende Hanneke Mackie. Sy is die stichter, die eienaar en die bestuurende direkteur van Bas Kids. So Bas Kids was founded in 2012 by Hanneke Mackie, who achieved her degree in theatre and performance from the University of Cape Town. So bly by ons, ons vat net 'n vinnige breek en wanneer ons terugkom, gesels ons nog oor hierdie innoverende pasmaak projek Bas Kids. Luisteraars, welkom terug. Ons kuier hier by Kopskuif, Kaapse Kansel 729 AM. My naam is Mirsha Eksteen. Dankie dat jy vandag saam met ons kuier. Ek is bevoorreg om met Hanneke Mackie te gesels. Sy is die stichter, eienaar en bestuurende direkteur van Bas Kids. As jy nou eers by ons aansluit, net voor die breek het Hanneke vir ons vertel van hierdie innoverende konsep. En Hanneke, when we started off, the one word you've used that really jumped out was proud South African. Mm. And over the last 12 years, Bas has earned excellent reputation for creating original, and this is where I made the link, original children's content and delivering educational creative arts across South Africa. So tell us more about the various content products that you have available for children.
Oh, thanks, Mirsha. You know, that's when it hit us that we should call ourselves this edutainment ecosystem, because you know, we're educational, we are child development through the arts. But the unique selling point and the thing that we really, really so proud of is that we'll never sing Old MacDonald Had a Farm. Mm. We are never going to use anything that's out there. We have decided that South Africa and our kids are cooler and fresher and like they need the, you know, they need the best. So from day one, we decided that our intellectual property will be our own, and we spend tons of time with the best artists and wonderful musicians and creating our own original music. So it started with needing to obviously dance to some music and sing some songs and have some poems and stories. And then, you know, needing that for the workshops, needing that for the extramurals and the program, as I explained it to you. But then at some point, you kind of understand that it stands alone as a product by itself.
Mm.
So we made it available on Spotify and Apple Music, or any platform where you listen to music. You can search Buzz Kids with a Z, and we have 7 different albums on there that you can go listen to free of charge. And then that also turned into a podcast.
Because, wow.
You know, when we were kids, we listened to Storyman. And audio stories are very powerful for children because they get to close their eyes and actually imagine the characters themselves.
Mm.
So we took exactly those same stories that we use in the workshops and we put them in a radio drama format, using the original music to make it very colorful, short episodes, and again, by kids on any platform where you get to your podcast, you can listen to those. And it's hours. I mean, I think there's 200 episodes there of original content that you can use for the long part. You know, we use them as road trips. And then COVID happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, COVID was horrible when it happened for us. Mm. It was really tough because we were so dependent on schools and schools were closed. It was really hard, but it was also a huge opportunity that started.
Mm.
As many people now, when we look back, and what it was for us is that we decided, listen, let's put the workshops on a Zoom call, so a video call, right? And there were, the first time we logged on, there were 600 children on all their little screens buzzing along in their homes. I mean, one of the first things you hear to me is that the word buzz is it encapsulates what we do. Because buzz is also a word, right? A verb, right?
Yeah.
They were buzzing on those screens.
Yeah.
I remember the tears because it was working. We were able to deliver it via a screen. And of course, that then helped us develop what we believe and really believe is the first of its kind for the world. It's an intentionally arts-based child development edutainment television program that we've now developed. And we're hoping to get that on the air for South African kids soon, because you can imagine where the school, the franchise can't reach.
Mm.
We can switch on the SABC and we can watch the Buzz Show.
Absolutely amazing. I think with all the various channels, you really make it so easy to get hold of the content. So it's really, you think of a channel and you are already there, Spotify. So well done.
Thank you.
So we spoke a lot about play, and we spoke a lot about education, and with your edutainment, which I think is so well set, that combination. And you also offer themed interactive birthday parties, holiday courses, children's and entertainment at corporate events. So, and you also, as you've mentioned, franchise opportunities. So tell us more.
So it never ends.
Naya, it's wonderful.
I told you I'm a serial entrepreneur.
It's an edutainmentpreneurial.
An entertainmentpreneur. So yeah, the birthday parties, the corporate events, the holiday programs, all of that becomes part of what the franchisee can offer in their community.
Oh, lovely.
So, you know, literally we are looking for instance, at the moment in the sort of garden route, we're looking to see if we can find find partners there. And so that's the franchise network. The franchise network is essentially, we give the right candidate, and it is about finding the right candidate, we give them a geographic area. Mm. And in that area, we don't compete with them. They have full right to approach schools in their area, independent locations, offer interactive birthday parties, offer holiday courses, and all of our programs they get to offer in that area. And of course, the franchise model has allowed us to really extend our scale and our reach. Because without it, you know, you try to control it centrally, and it's very hard to manage. This way, we have like-minded business people who are creative, who believe in this, and who are selling it in their communities with their own teams. And what this also allows us, Marisha, that I'm very excited about, is the next phase, which is how do we get into the rest of our continent? How do we go to other countries? And the franchise model allows us to do that. I was actually very, very lucky to be mentored in the process of turning Buzz into a franchise by one of the original founders of Nando's, one of South Africa's greatest exports being Nando's, you know, and a great example of a successful franchise. So I was mentored by him, and I really trust that what we offer our franchisees is a one-stop shop, an absolute complete product. They've got so much support, so much training, so many resources. It's an online platform called Buzz in a Box, and that means that the person can buzz from anywhere, with Buzz in a Box being the resource. So we're very, very proud of it, and we're growing it rapidly, and what that means is that we're reaching more children. Without the support of other franchisees, we can't do it. So I'm very proud of where we are right now.
Wow. Hanneke, there's a quote on passion. Passion is energy. Feel the power that comes from focusing on what excites you. And I can't imagine how you do this. But you really think about every aspect. And you also have a non-profit, the Buzz Foundation.
Yes.
And the Buzz Foundation was established to operate for underserved communities. So please tell us more.
Oh, Marisha, this is you've now left this my favorite part of my business. This is what I like to talk about the most.
Wow.
Because, you know, this is what brought me back to Africa. When I left and spent the second half of my 20s abroad, and I still sometimes, you know, when everyone complains about load shedding and potholes and every problem in South Africa, I know why I'm here.
Yes.
I have a deep sense of purpose. And for a long time, Buzz was so locked in what a business is, which is you've got to make money to spend money. You've got to pay your salary to get. And at some point, I just said to my business partner, I was like, if we can't also reach the children who are in the lowest underserved communities of the country, I don't want to do this. I don't want it to be another lovely add-on for only privileged children. So we started the Buzz Foundation. So now what we have is that the premium product still exists in the private schools and people can buy in at whatever level. But when we get to the lower end of the economic ladder, we get funding from big funders. We use our MPO status, our PBO status, so that big CSI companies and corporates can spend money with us, that they can write off to their taxes or fulfill their objectives to do good. And we then go and we can do different things for them. We can train their teachers in a community they're invested in, or we can just uplift schools. We can send up, we can build entrepreneurs. The nice thing is we've got such a nice plug-and-play package now. In South Africa, there's a huge need for ECD investment. We know that a lot of people in the nonprofit space are spending time and money there. They're also working on youth unemployment and entrepreneurship. And Buzz happens to tick those boxes quite well, because we can go into a community where there's nothing. Like, we've just run a project now in the Northern Cape. And although it was funded, the idea there is you find an entrepreneur, you build up that entrepreneur. That entrepreneur can now create jobs and then also reach children. So you're reaching many different parts of that community. You're creating jobs, making income for the community, but ultimately that educational outcome is still delivered. And I mean the amount of money that it cost us to reach 700 children for 6 months. So 6 months long, this particular project, and there's many, many more that we're running, but I'm using an example. We managed to reach 700 kids over a period of 6 months, once a week, for an amount of money, Mersha, that if I tell you how little it is, you will fall off your chair. So I'm not going to tell you. But my point is, we don't need a lot. We just need support. We need people to, if you believe in what Buzz does, we really ask people in the corporate space, if they want to spend, support a nonprofit, the Buzz Foundation really, because of that big brand that we built in the corporate side, we have a world-class product to deliver in a nonprofit space. And I think that changes the game as well. And
amazing.
We're really, really proud of it. We're really proud of the work that's been done there.
Well done. Well done.
Thank you.
So where can people contact you?
So we are Buzz Kids. Wherever you type in the word B-U-Z-Z and then K-I-D-Z instead of an S, so Buzz Kids, you will find our podcast, you'll find our music, and you'll find our website. The website is buzzkids.org. We're not .com, we're not .coza, we are .org. But we are the only Buzz Kids, so you will find us on YouTube. And what you'll also hopefully see is all the franchisees, because the franchisees are called Buzz Kids Constantia or Buzz Kids West Coast, and they will also come up. And when you do go to our website, if people want to know more and email us or phone us or follow us on the social media or go to LinkedIn, then you also get a sense of the areas where we are more present and where there's lots of opportunity. This is also the way that you find like-minded souls who are potentially good candidates for franchises or funders or schools who want to get this as an extramural program. I mean, that's a wonderful opportunity for our franchisees to earn. And we don't know if the schools don't talk to us. So it's always a relationship-building exercise. So Buzz Kids, with the z.org for the website, that will always find, you will find us.
Lovely. And then, to quote Peter Pan, what if you fail? But, oh, my darling, what if you fly? And Buzz Kids is flying. So what's your next dream or goal?
So, Mersha, that quote is very personal and special to me. So it's very, very, very special that you've mentioned it. When I started Buzz, that quote, what if you fly, what if you fail, but oh my darling, what if you fly, I had it all over the office.
With
so many people told me, I just come back from the UK, and so many people said to me, what if no one signs up? What if the schools don't talk to you?
what if
the parents? And I kept saying, what if they do? What if they do?
So, lovely.
You know, again, where did that come from? Where did that tenacity come from? Did it come from the fact that I had a whole drama degree, which is not just a degree in drama. It is that thing that capacitated me with that amount of confidence and that amount of maybe it's silliness. You know, Steve Jobs says a quote about only the crazy people will change the world. But my next venture, Marisha, is to take the franchise network internationally. I mean, there are quite a few franchise networks that have done that successfully. And I think our offering is actually very rich in terms of that. So that's a big goal. Another goal is to, and this is very close, but we're still needing to find the right sponsor relationship for our television show. Because, again, because of IP and how we want to control the ownership of our show, we want a brand relationship for that. So that's the next step. You know how Sanlam, Takalani Sesame, was brought to South Africa by Sanlam? So brought to you by Sanlam, that type of relationship is something we're looking for. And I really think that that could open up doors for the ecosystem. So it's the franchise network growing. It's the show that has to go big with its merchandise that will come with it. So we'll do, we will definitely do, you know, a spin-off on the TV show of educational games and so forth. And then the last thing is in my personal capacity, I would say, I've been deeply passionate about the development of other entrepreneurs. And obviously the franchise network and my own staff has always given me this incredible opportunity to grow other young people, especially women. I love to take them from young and scared to like an empowered business person, whatever that might be. And so I'm hoping to do an MPhil course in leadership soon, just to put the credentials behind my name and spend more time in a coaching position as well. But I mean, I need more hours in the day. I guess I should have started by saying my first goal is to have more time taking my own child to swimming and gymnastics and make more time for Jack. But you know, actually, because I've got such an incredible team and so much incredible support, I actually do have a wonderful, flexible life where I spend lots of time with my child. It's beautiful.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So luisteraars, dit is Hanneke Mackie. Dit is 'n fascinerende getuigskrif van iemand wat hierdie visie gehad het en hier 12 jaar later revolutionêre projekte en een projek wat net aanleiding gee tot 'n ander projek. So Hanneke, from me and the listeners, we would really like to wish you well. May you just buzz wherever you go.
Thank you so much.
To me, buzz is so, yeah, it's excitement, eh? When you hear that buzz word.
Yes.
And thanks for your enthusiasm and thank you for nurturing your goals. And yeah, just keep on flying.
Thank you so much, Marisha. It means a lot to us to have an opportunity to share. I really thank you for this. Thank you.
We wish you well, and I would love to invite you back when you are ready to come and share all your master degree findings with us.
Thank you. I'd love to.
All of the best. You look after yourself.
Thank you.
And yes, take good care.
Thank you, Marisha.
Bye.
Bye.
Dit was 'n heerlike gesels hier op Kopskuif saam met Hanneke Mackie. Gaan besoek hulle gerus by Buzz Kids. Die webwerf, dit is 'n heerlike program. Enige iemand wat wil belangstel of navraag wil doen of meer inligting wil bekom. En dan luisteraars van my, Marisha Eksteen, wil ek net sê, baie dankie vir vandag se saamkuier. Baie dankie dat jy deel is van die Kopskuif familie. Onthou dat hierdie episode van Kopskuif en elke vorige episode weer geluister kan word op Potgooi. Besoek www.capepulpit, klik op Potgooi en dan op Kopskuif. En ek herhaal net weer, dit is www.buzzkids.org. So gaan maak gerus 'n draai daar. En lees meer so oor vandag se program, se heerlike inhoud rondom Buzz Kids. En dan die uitnodiging om elke Saterdag hier saam te kuier tussen 4 en 5 by 729 AM Radio Kaapse Kansel, waar ons onderwys sake gesels. Want ons by die ATKV glo dat onderwys almal se verantwoordelikheid is. Ek groet tot volgende week.
Hierdie inset was aan jou gebring met die komplimente van Radio Kaapse Kansel 729 AM. Besoek ons gerus by www.capepulpit.co.za.